Good afternoon, listeners. My name is Phil C. This is Corner Country, brought to you by allaussieradio.com.au and now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM, 96.3 4 Triple E Emerald Queensland and 87.6 Backwater Country, 24/7 Country Channel on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. Coming to you live today from Goomerai and heading to Boonduma. Now, Boonduma is Spirits of the Bush. Now, we will be there tomorrow. We will be there. The Walker Barters start on Tuesday and the main artists will be, I think, Friday, Saturday and probably Sunday. Got some sensational artists there, folks. We've got Alice Benford, Jeff Brown, Clyde Cameron, Brian Letton, Dean Perrott, Sharon Smith, Ashley Cook, and, of course, Kylie Castle. Now, I'm going to start with an Ashley Cook track, okay? Caught up with Ashley Cook last week at the Yabobo Country Music Campout 2025 and had an interview with him. He was on the program last week and he is going to be at Boonduma as well. So let's kick off with a song by him. It's a number called The Australian Way.
The bank had loaned him thousands and it signed as farmers do to keep from going under and the interest would accrue. The years of drought had pushed him to the edge of dark despair. His family loved this station, but the bankers would not care. Tanks were all but empty and the dams were balls of dust. The stock were dropping daily and his loan was fit to bust. The banker came in person, even framed his sad remorse. Left Artie with the papers saying things had run their course. No words could Artie mutter, he was crushed and cold inside. To tell his wife and children was beyond this farmer's pride. The grapevine did its duty and the news spread fast that day. They'd need to lend a hand now, that's the Aussie way. He'd need to buy a dwelling in the town not far away. The bankers left quite quickly, thinking wisest not to stay. It started with a bore pump as the bids went up in tens. But soon they were in hundreds as he watched his farming friends. See every single dollar that the auction made from then was just a marked donation from these farming wives and men. It only took the morning and the lots were spoken for. 300K said Chokey, Bill said make it 50 more. No words could Artie mutter, overwhelmed with love inside. To help his wife and children, he took the gift with pride. Then Mrs. Firing Forsworth, in a quiet, subtle way, gave one final gesture in the Aussie way. I'll buy your family station and I'll need a leading hand. Don't move into the city, you belong here on this land. And when at last I leave here, you can keep the title too. We like to help our neighbours, that's what Aussies do. No words could Artie mutter, overwhelmed with love inside, to hold his wife and children as his heart was filled with pride. The grapevine did its duty in the spirit of the day. We helped a maid in trouble, that's the Aussie way. Yes, we helped a maid in trouble, 'cause that's the Aussie way.
There you go, folks. That's the way to kick off the show, the Aussie way. This is Corner Country, and all we play is Australian country music, okay? And mostly independent artists. I like to give the independent people as much airplay as possible. Now, as I said on last week's program, if you missed it, Ashley Cook, I had the pleasure of interviewing him, and he was on last week's show from Yabobo. The Yabobo Country Music Campout. And he's going to be at the Spirits of the Bush at the Boomdoona Homestead, okay? Kicks off on Tuesday. That's only 2 days away, folks, okay? With the walk-up artist. Goes through until Sunday the 27th. Now, I'll be there chatting with all of the artists and bringing as much of the show to you people as possible. Dean Perrott, I'm going to play a track by him now because he will be at Spirits of the Bush. But not only that, he's also at the Capella Country Music Festival in the Covered Arena. That kicks off May 6th, Tuesday, May 6th, goes through until Sunday the 11th, okay? Got some sensational artists there as well, okay? Peter Simpson, Diane Lindsay, Terry Gordon, Alicia Smith, Caitlin Jamison, Kylie Hogan, Dave Hawkins, oh my goodness me. The list just goes on and on and on and on. Special guest artist who is going to be on the program with us a little bit later on, folks. And that, of course, is Col Elliott. Very funny fellow, okay? Does a bit of country singing himself and also a fabulous Australian comedian, country comedian, and he's going to be on the show a little bit later on, all right? So make sure you stick around for that one. Now, let's play a song by Dean Perrott. I'm going to do his latest single. It's a number called Slim's Guitar. Mr. Dean Perrott, folks.
I am built of wooden wire, but I have a heart of gold. His ballads of Australia were painted through my soul. I may bear the name of Martin, but the greatest thing by far was the privilege to be Slim's guitar. On the road or his recordings, when the thumb pick met the strings, the strumming of the master's hand would make my rosewood sing. He would play it straight and honest, from that I wear the scars, the marks to prove that I am Slim's guitar. The legend and his lady drove across this tough old land, the soundtrack of Australia, the voice we understand. We played 10,000 stages, then performed 1,000 more. I was center stage through it all. Just like his older Cobra, turned down at the front, I felt his shoulder on me, and I would share the brunt. Rolling across Australia in that old purple car, the bush was all around us, for I was Slim's guitar. Flows, or down round Kosciuszko, where the wild bush horsemen rode. A pick's drum firm and solid, a true bush ballad sound, for Slim and his guitar were back in town. Well, then my strings lay silent, for his touch it came no more. An era it had ended with the closing of life's door. He left a country music legacy that shines bright as a star. I'm oh so proud that I was Slim's guitar. I am built of wooden wire, but I have a heart of gold. His ballads of Australia were painted through my soul. I may bear the name of Martin, but the greatest thing by far was the privilege to be Slim's guitar. what a privilege that I was Slim's guitar.
And there you go, folks. That is Slim's guitar. That's the brand new single for the sensational Dean Perrott. And he's going to be at both these festivals. We're chatting about Spirits of the Bush in the Boonduma Homestead, Tuesday 22nd through until Sunday 27th of this month. That's only in 2 days' time, folks. And then after that, we've got the Capella Music Festival, okay, Country Music Festival in the Covered Arena from May 6th through until May 11th. All righty, we're continuing on. I'm going to play you a track now by a good mate of mine. He goes by the name of Jeff Brown. He's got some funny songs. He's got some sensational country ballads. He is going to be at the Spirits of the Bush. I'm going to play you a song from one of his albums. This is going back to 2019. The album is called More Times Than I Remember. Going to play you the lead single from that one, folks. More Times Than I Remember. Jeff Brown, aka Brownie.
Well, I've been out back in my trusty old Mac more times than I remember. Seen scorching drought in the further out and the monsoons in December. Seen lots of snow round Omeo, seen the sands of Oodnadatta. Been checked for weight in every state from Cairns to Wangaratta. 6 days on the road with an overload while I waited out the scales. Been in strife with another bloke's wife in a town in New South Wales. Been bogged in glue on the hay plains too in the storms of late November. Been in a blue full of homemade brew more times than I remember. Wrecks, had a few crook checks from shonks I carted freight for. Had some quick turnarounds in coastal towns and some loads I've had to wait for. Old ugly loads over rough dirt roads from Christmas to September. Had a bearing go and a tire blow more times than I remember. Now I've settled down in a country town and the big wheels roll on by. And the bull light beams invade my dreams and they will until I die. Though my truckin' days may fade away like a fire's dying ember, I've known tough times, but I've made true mates more times than I remember. Never had me a wife, but I've had a good life. Hard work, it seems, don't matter. If your health stays fine as it has like mine and my ashes you can scatter. Where the trucks roll by and the soft winds sigh and freight slows in December. Let my mates come by just to show that I am a bloke they all remember. Let my mates come by just to show that I am a bloke they all remember.
There you go, folks. More times than I remember. Jeff Brown, sensational country singer, bush balladeer, songwriter, and downright darn good bloke. Gonna play you a track now, and this one is by Col Elliott. This song is called Henry Banjo and Me. And then straight after this, folks, we're gonna have the man on the program with us.
Henry Banjo and me, we'd sit for hours by my granddaddy's knee. Chase the wild bush horses, dream of places wide and free. Henry Banjo and me,
droving with Clancy down the Cooper long ago. And we crossed the mighty Lachlan when it's shearing time. You know we pushed that foaming team 1,000 miles for Cobb and Co. Henry Banjo and me. And when Darcy rode that mule, we laughed until we cried. We cried the night the drover's old dog Rover died. with the man from Snowy River down the mountains we did ride. Henry, Banjo and me.
Henry, Banjo and me. We'd sit for hours by my granddaddy's knee, chase the wild bush horses, dream of places wide and free. Henry, Banjo and me.
We felt the red-hot razor shave that man from Ironbark, and the ventriloquial rooster tricked the gamecock for a lark. And we ran for cover every time that loaded dog would bark. Henry, Banjo and me.
Henry, Banjo and me. We'd sit for hours by my granddaddy's knee, chase the wild bush horses, dream of places wide and free. Henry, Banjo and me.
Well, the bushman's days are numbered, and old mates are growing old, and the faces in the streets, well, they've increased a thousandfold. Waltham with Matilda, that's where I would rather be. Just Henry, Banjo and me.
Henry, Banjo and me. We'd sit for hours by my granddaddy's knee, chase the wild bush horses, dream of places wide and free. Henry, Banjo and me. Henry, Banjo and me. We'd sit for hours by my granddaddy's knee, chase the wild bush horses, dream of places wide and free. Henry, Banjo and me.
Henry, Banjo, and me.
Well, there you go, folks. I played it last week, and I've played it again. Henry, Banjo, and me. What a sensational song. Absolutely love it. And I did promise last week we were going to have the man on the show. He's been pushing the belly laugh buttons for over 50 years, Mr. Col Elliott. How you going, my friend?
Hi, Phil. How you doing, buddy? I'm good, mate. I'm really good. I woke up with a big smile on my face and got it over and done with early.
Yep.
So I'm up and at them, yeah.
And you had your three cups of coffee to help you through the Wordle puzzle and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, did me Wordle. Did me Wordle. She was an easy one today. Got third line. When I get through half a cup of coffee, I start me Wordle, because the coffee's got to kick in first, mate.
Okay. Yeah. I get it. Mate, yeah. The last time we had you on the show, we spoke about a lot of stuff. We spoke about your early life, where you grew up. Yeah. We spoke about your aspirations to be a jockey and a few other things.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't right. They weren't racing draft horses, that's right. No, yeah.
We're going to talk about the Capella Country Music Muster, because this is the one you're going to be at. Now, how does it make you feel, before we start talking about the actual muster itself, how does it make you feel when people say you're the most loved and in-demand performer in your field?
I'd say give them the $10 that you promised them to say that. And I feel very fortunate that I did something that worked.
Yes.
And it worked for me because of my early life. It worked for me. Comedy worked for me. And I'm glad someone said, hey, gee, I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started. I remember one of my first gigs, I got $10 and all I could drink for stand on a beer barrel at the Danny and Old Footy Club. I had the best time. And, you know, I enjoyed the show so much. You know, like 20 years later, I'm still getting the same, more 20 years later, 50 years later, I'm still getting the same buzz out of it, you know.
Yep.
It's a joy to watch people laugh. I enjoy it very much. And I, you know, I make myself laugh sometimes, which is a little bit strange, I guess.
Well, people reckon if you laugh at your own jokes, you're a little bit strange. But I laugh at my own jokes because nobody finds me funny but me.
Look, it's funny. It's funny how you write stuff too. One of my favourite stories, and people say, can you give me how you write material? And I said, well, it comes out of real life, and that's what it does, you know. I mean, I often go back to the times when I was drinking and all the rest, and you start talking about things, you know, like, you know, trying to exercise and do all that. And I said, I've been riding a bike. And I said, I got motivated because what's his name, Tour de France, Lance, whatever. Uh-huh. He got, Armstrong, wasn't it? Lance Armstrong.
Oh.
He got.
Yeah, go on.
Yep, I think that's right. He got 7 Tour de France's. And I thought, and they said in it, and even while he was on drugs, and the thought came straight to me, geez, I don't even got to find my bike when I was on drugs. we had many, many years ago, we had my wife and I had a girlfriend, Karen, and I'd been married for 52 years. But we had her girlfriend come over, and she brought her two young boys, I didn't want to sit there and have a cup of tea with the girls. They were having a girls' yak, you know.
Yes.
So I was in the lounge room, and I'm watching these two boys wreck my place, you know. Mm-hmm. I kept looking around. I said, young boy, mate, the turtle doesn't come out of his shell. Oh, yes, he does. when the cat's squealing like that, it means he doesn't like it. Yeah. It's when he's purring, he likes it. He's dead. The cat's dead, you know. and you make up. I walked on stage that night after that show, after that visit, and I wrote it on my feet, and I said to my tour manager, write that down, or remind me of that, so that. And he would say, what you said was, because I would have forgotten, you know, and it came from a true situation. So that becomes part of, you know, the kids growing up and all the rest of it, you know. And then I fleece back onto, and now what I talk about my bucket list, and I talk about things I've done and where I'd like to go back and have a look and do all that sort of stuff. And I send it on a crazy journey of that as well. So, and I just get a lot of requests too, because I wrote a lot of stuff, and people want to hear it again, or they said, oh, please, will you do Hey You Bloody Mug, or will you do Bloody Whatever? And I try and accommodate that as much as I can. Uh-huh. And when I do a gig, you know, so I still enjoy it though.
So, what do you do to obviously you're right?
Listen, Phil, what did you ask me then? Hey Phil, you like my answers?
Yeah,
I'm worse.
I love the answers, but I forgot the question.
Okay. I'm worse than bloody Trump. You know, you ask me a question and I go off the rails. You know, and I end up talking about windmills or something.
No, mate, it's all good. But the thing is, one of the things I wanted to ask you, like you said, you just mentioned that people ask you for requests because you've obviously got regular things that you do. But is there? Have you retained all the stuff you've done? Like in your head, if somebody was to throw something at you, because I asked a singer at one of these country festivals, for example, and I won't mention the name of the man or the song, and I said, oh, can you play that for me? And he looked at me, and went, mate, I don't even remember how that goes. I can't remember the chords. Crikey, you need to give me a week to play that. I said, but you wrote it. You sing. You know.
Well, like, I don't know. I don't know how many. I mean, I could probably. I'm sure there's songs that I did. I like Smoking Again. It's a terrible song. You know, it's a cigarette talking about it, you know. And it's got that many words in it. And I go, did I write all that? And I used to sing it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think, look, most of the stuff I can pretty well, you know, retain. But I don't know. You throw something at me and I'll tell you. Hang on.
No, I'll save it for the day, I think. Put you on the spot. Have you ever been put on the spot? Has somebody ever yelled at you from, like, the audience as a heckler or something, and you're thinking, how am I going to answer this bloke? I really want to punch him or kick her out.
Yeah. That happens when you get a drunk.
Yep.
And they've got no filter. Mm. And they've also got no control over their head, you know. Mm. And you start off with nice lines and say, it's all right, mate, I know what it was like when I had my first drink. And you know, you're taking the meat out. And you do that, and then you say, from the shallow end of the gene pool, what did you say, mate? You know, you try and shut them up.
Yes.
And then I had one of them many, many years ago come up and started swearing and yakking at me face right in front of the stage. And yep. I said to him, mate, settle down. Come on, settle down. We're not here for this. Uh-huh. And anyway, ended up, he went right off his brain, and I had security there anyway that night. They took him outside and sat him in his car, and his wife come out crying and all the rest, and he woke up and said, what happened? You know, he didn't have a clue.
So does it throw your game? Does it throw your focus? Like, you've got a routine, you've got a crowd going, and you got some idiot in the front row or halfway down the back, and, all they want to do is create a disturbance, I suppose, for want of a better thing.
I think it's because there's a something in them that would love to be on stage.
Uh-huh.
Something in them that is, they're there for the wrong reason, or they come there to try and heckle or something like that. I don't know. But I really don't get that very often. Once in a blue moon. I mean, most people are paying good money to come and have a belly laugh and enjoy thing, you know. But when something comes on, I can go off on a tangent and talk about drunks and talk about bloody Christ. I was a good drunk. Jeez, I'm bloody terrible. I'm down here. But no, look, I pull in life, and I don't really get a lot of heckling like that. And when I do, I take it. I don't ignore it. I try and stop them. And eventually one time, I walked down, right down the middle, right up to the back, and I said, mate, what is your problem? Yeah. Because I hadn't done one of my characters, he kept yelling, and I had done a fair bit. I'd done the show, and I hadn't done a certain character. I can't remember what it was, Vinnie Vomit or something.
Okay.
And he was going, he wanted to see, that's all he thought. And he didn't even think that I was the character. He thought that it was another person. So it was really bizarre. Anyway, I said, I'm so sorry you feel like that. And I pulled out, excuse me, I pulled out $20 and shoved it in his shirt and said, go home. It's not your show.
So I reckon
I'm sorry,
stand-up comedy, it's supposed to be the hardest form of entertainment. Have you ever found it hard, or you just always love it?
Mate, I did. I did a night, one night. Jesus, the hardest one I've ever done. I had to do an hour on stage, and it was when I first started out, when I first got out of the Navy, and Kaz and I went over to Tasmania, and I think we were getting money, $50 or something. I don't know, but after airfares. But anyway, I had to do this show, and it was a Wednesday night. I was contracted for three nights, whatever, $50 a night or whatever. And I had to go on. The show started at 8 o'clock, and I had to walk on stage at 8 o'clock. And I said to the guy, there's no one here. And he said, mate, you've got to start at 8 o'clock. He said, that's the rules. He says, I can't pay you. I walk straight. There's no one there. I said, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the I did an hour, and halfway through it, three Chinese sailors walked in, or six Chinese sailors from the something Maru.
Yes.
And they walked in to get a drink and they sat down, didn't have a clue what I was talking about. So I started working out what they liked and what they knew. And they, you know what they know? You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. And I had them singing that. And I got a standing ovation off them. I did me hour and I got me $50 and I was happy, yeah.
And that's so, all, does that all you had in the room? There's just those three for the entire night?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just kept doing my show and ad-libbing to myself. And
geez, that would have been tough.
So you got a request over there in the corner. There's no one there, of course. You yeah, okay, no worries. I'll get to it. No worry. I'll get there. What do you love country? I do country. Yep. And I'm talking. I'm doing that on stage. No,
so you had an imaginary audience that you were trying to feed from.
Well, I had no audience.
Well, that's what an imaginary audience that you were trying to play to.
That's what I did, and that's what you did. That's acting.
Yes.
And the guy behind the bar's looking, he's having a laugh. he's sort of polishing bloody glasses and having the chuckle to himself, but not trying to do it real loud because the boss was there. So he's trying not to laugh, you know. So I'm going, my one audience was stifling it. And then the three Chinese or six Chinese came in and sat down and everybody looking at me. And so I played to them.
Yep.
And I said, oh, here's another one you won't like. I was doing all that stuff. You know? And, I think it is a tough trade to be in. But you've got to have Teflon skin.
Yes.
You really have to have Teflon skin. And the biggest thing that you do, which is not a good thing to do, is do a report to yourself on your own show.
Uh-huh.
And then I did this, and did I get a laugh at it? And you stopped doing a post-mortem.
Uh-huh.
Stop doing that. You've done the show. It's gone. It's done. If you fell on your bum, fine. Get up. Learn something from it. Move forward.
Yep.
And it's always you're pushing the boundaries. And in the end, what it did, I would before I started, no one knew me. No one in those days. So I used to be in the very early times. I used to go on at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning in George Street in Sydney, and they were all Italian and Greek restaurateurs come after work to just have a drink and talk. They didn't want to hear stand-up comic trying to do gags and all the rest of it. So the one of the guys that taught me this, it's a lesson you learn, is go on and I'll tell you the guy's name in a sec. He was a comedian, a very funny guy, and I was his support. And I had to go on. He was a singer. So I had to go on and do the warm-up act.
Mm-hmm.
Surf, to see, and he watched me die, and I died on my feet, and I came out, never got a laugh. And he said to me, Cole, he said, you know what it is? He said, you're not dying gracefully. Let me teach you how to do it. And after he finished me, he said, I want you to go watch me go on stage. Now, you watch me. I'm Irish. He said, I'm going to be singing to these Greeks and Italians, and they're not going to look up. They're not going to stop talking. And just watch what I do. It's called dying gracefully. And he went on and he said, thanks very much. You know, oh, you're okay. Here's another one you won't like. I don't know, thanks very much. All right. I know you love the Guinness. And he'd do a gag, and he'd say, no laughter, nothing. And then he'd say, okay, here's another one. 1, 2, 3. And he'd do the thing, and he'd dance, and he'd be pretending he's talking to the audience. And he has just phased all these Italian and Greek people out. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying this is where they went.
Yes.
In the club. And he came off, and he said, thanks very much. And he went back on. He said, all right, one more. And I based my whole thing after that. He said, that's called dying gracefully, Colt. He said, do that every time. And you killed him. It was their fault.
Oh, crikey. Now, you've never done Capella. You've done a lot of festivals, but you've never actually performed at the Capella Festival before.
No, I haven't.
What are your expectations of it? Have you heard a lot about it?
I it looks like big family turnout, so I'm going to be working Uncle Colo's family gathering. There might be kids there. I wouldn't want to offend anybody, but I'm naughty. I can't help it. They know that I'm crazy, and I'll do some beard stuff, and I'll bring out Slugger Mulligan. Bloody good bloke, Slugger. Good bloke. I'll bring out Slugger and let him know that he was Chad's great uncle.
Uh-huh.
I'll do a few bits and pieces, and I'll do all my silly songs, you know, you'll never see a roof rack on a hearse and all that sort of stuff.
Look,
I'm looking forward to it. You've got, you know, Terry Gordon's up there, you know, Chad Morgan Jr.
Yes.
Watto.
Yes.
Watto's going, Lindsay Waddington.
Yep.
We have always have a ball doing that. There's one guy here, Doug Gallagher.
Yep.
I've got to be careful saying that last night.
Yep.
Dougie. He'll be there, you know, the Capella Country Band will be there.
Yes.
You know, there's a Terry Gordon, you know, Pixie Jansons.
Pixie. Have you worked with Pixie before?
It's going to be a good festival. I'm looking forward to it very much, actually.
Well, I was going to ask if you've actually worked with any of these artists before, because Peter Simpson and Diane Lindsay, they're going to be there as well. Terry Gordon, Watto's in the band. He's like in the Capella Country Band along with Michelle Rose.
Has just worked with me singly.
Yep.
He's worked in his band. I've worked with Watto lots of times. And of course, Terry Gordon I've known since year dot. We still talk. Danielle Waters. I've worked with a lot of these people, and we go back a lot of years, lot of years. I've been around for a while, and so are they, and. A great testament to all these people. They're still working.
Yes. Yes, you know, they are.
Still working. And I mean, gee, God, I could go back. Anyway, doesn't matter. We're all getting bloody older.
Look, I think it's going to be a fabulous festival. I've not been to it myself. But I have seen the bulk of these artists perform at different festivals, so there's going to be some great talent out there for sure, including yourself. I've never seen you perform live, and I can't wait for that. We've had a few discussions, a few chats, and you always manage to make me laugh on the phone, so I just know that when you're up there on the stage doing it. I believe there'll be any children there, because this festival really attracts the older generation, the grey nomads, for want of a better term.
I'll be behaving myself anyway, because I've got respect for them, but at the same time, they know what I do, and
yes.
They can always block their ears. No, I won't do that.
Well, most of them have got hearing aids, you're going to be telling jokes, you might have to tell them to turn their hearing aid up, because normally everybody's telling them to turn it down.
I say, I'm not saying you're old, but I want all the lip readers up the front. I just wrote that. That's terrible.
You just wrote it. Good on you. Put it in the show.
I just, on my feet, yeah. I just wrote that. No, I must write that down. All lip readers up the front.
Yeah, well, most of them are, like, a lot of the festivals that I go to, they're the same sort of audiences to go to all of them, and the performers, Diane Lindsay and Peter Simpson, I've seen him. The people I've mentioned, Gus, Fenwick and Michelle Rose, I've seen them everywhere, and the crowds are older crowds. Pixie Jenkins, for example, he sometimes can be a bit risque, but I mean, I saw him about 6 weeks ago, and he had his audience in stitches. by just taking him to the edge and bringing him back, you know what I mean? And I did ask you the last time we chatted, you said you don't have an actual routine. You kind of, like you just did there, you go play on your feet response.
I know the stuff that I've written the songs and whatever, but... Yeah, gags come to you, then you want to share, which is great. But I can't do a structured show like that. It's too hard. Because I go off on tangents, you know.
Yes.
But look,
like Donald Trump. No, I'm not a fan. I think he's a dropkick. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm really into politics. But anyway, the I take it as it comes. I quite enjoy it. I was starting to write something the other day. I said, no, don't write any more. You don't want any more.
Yep.
But I did. I enjoyed it.
So you're always writing new material? You're always searching for new? Routines and your classic characters. Are you likely to have new characters and create some new ones, or just the ones that you always fall back to?
No. I've got too many. You know, you got Giuseppe Harry Curry, you got Slugger Mulligan, Chooker Dennis, there's a good roadie still. You know, all those sort of characters and Giuseppe and and Arthur C. Stork, the gardening expert with a difference. I can't do that on the show. It's a beautiful. It's the gardening thing. Well, welcome to Getting Rooted with Arthur C. Stork. Anyway, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There's so many characters, and you know they've all got a place. I love doing Slugger, and I love doing Chooker. I quite enjoy them all, but. I enjoy morphing into another character. You know, it's just such good fun. You know.
Yeah. Look, I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be sensational, and it's on May at Capella Covered Arena from the 6th to the 11th. The weather's not going to affect anybody, and I think it's going to be great. I can't wait to catch you up there,
mate. It'll be good. We'll have a good night.
Absolutely.
Good day.
And how long does your set go for? You on for an hour or half an hour, 45?
An hour or something like that. But I'll work with Watto too because I need to change into Slugger.
Okay.
And Chooker. we'll put on a gig. We'll have a good time.
Good on you. Thank you so much for the time, my friend. It's been an absolute pleasure again, and looking forward to catching up with you at the Capella Country Music Muster from the 6th to the 11th of May.
I'll see you there, buddy. Thanks, Bill.
Absolutely. Ciao. Thanks, mate. Well, there you go, folks. That is the sensational Cole Elliott. Gosh, he's a funny fella. And I am so looking forward to catching up with him at the Capella Country Music Festival in the Covered Arena. Doesn't matter what the weather's doing, folks. Everybody's going to be in a shelter. The Covered Arena. It kicks off on Tuesday, the 6th of May, and goes through until Sunday, the 11th of May. Let's do another song, okay, by Cole. It's a number called Gotta Give the Grog Away.
I'm here to tell you about the evils of drink. Now drink can turn a loving woman into a nagging wife. That means there's only one thing left to do. Give up the grog or give up the missus. Or you might find yourself saying,
I gotta give the grog away. But I'd rather get rid of that nagging tart. She's cruel to me drinking, it's breaking me heart. I gotta get the grog away. Oh, you know, it's a terrible state of affairs when a man can't have a quiet social drink at 6 in the morning. I woke up this morning, the missus said you were drunk last night. I said I was not. I was socially excited. She said you were drunk. It took you over half an hour to get your underpants off. I said, well, that doesn't mean I was drunk. She said, what? Over your head. Then she turned nasty and said,
You better give the grog away.
Oh, you better stop drinking that filthy grog or you'll be sharing the kennel with the family dog. You better give the grog away. Well, there's troubles I've had this week. There I was going through town doing 110 mile an hour. I went through 14 stoplights, hit two zebras on the zebra crossing. Went round the corner, went right up the back end of a cop car. Copper got out the car in the pouring rain, and bit of blood hanging off his forehead. I looked across at him and straight away I thought to myself, good, he's upset. Funny how you can tell, isn't it, eh? He came straight over. He said, "You stupid motorist." He said, "Didn't you see me?" Oh, I said, "I hit you, didn't I?" He said, "Well, you're a silly boy." I said, "Well, I'm not getting wet." He said, "Don't you get smart with me." He said, "You're going to do your licence for this." Well, I have to have a bit of a chuckle to myself. Haven't got one. Then he turned nasty and said,
"You better give the grog away. You better give the grog away.
You better stop driving on 405. You'll wake up in the morning, you won't be alive. You better give
the grog away.
I'd better stop drinking that filthy grog, or tonight I'm sleeping with the family dog. I got to give
the grog away.
But I'd rather get rid of that nagging tart. She's cruel on me drinking, it's breaking me heart. I got to give
the grog away.
I just won't give
the grog away.
Now what should I give
the grog away? He just won't
come on,
give.
Move over, Rover. You got fleas, but you don't answer back. Crack us another tinny, mate. Come on, have a little bit of the old brown liquid in your doggy bowl, Rover. There's a boy. Come on, cuddle up, son. Not so fast, Rover. Only got half a dozen tinnies left. Oh, it's quite cosy in here, really. Can get the telly in, and we could make a bit of a feature wall up the back there. Come on, cuddle up, son. Me and you'll be right.
Didn't I tell you, folks, he was funny. He's such a sensational man with so many characters. And if you haven't seen him live and you're going to be anywhere near Capella from Tuesday the 6th of May, do yourself a favour, folks. You know you want to, because you will be absolutely blown away by that guy and so many other countless fabulous entertainers. Peter Simpson, Diane Lindsay, Terry Gordon, Alicia Smith, Caitlin Jamison, Kylie Hogan, Dave Hawkins, Danella Waters. Now, she is the Dolly Parton look-alike, sound-alike. Hillbilly Goats, absolutely unbelievable trio, that one. Dean Parrott, Pixie Jenkins, Lindsay Waddington, a.k.a. Watto, Andrew and Amy Ryan, Chad Morgan Jr., A.D. Burgess. The list just goes on. It's ridiculous. Do yourself a favour, folks, and get out there and have a great time. This next song I'm going to play for you is by an act that will be appearing at the Spirits of the Bush, Boonduma Homestead. Now, she goes by the name of Alice Benfer. Had the pleasure of meeting Alice last year at the Crow's Nest Country Music Festival and also again at Boney Mountain, which is one that's run by Norma O'Hara Murphy. Song we're going to play for you is a number called Salt Bush Sally.
Salt Bush Sally, your life is all but plain. There's more out there like you. True country women with a backbone, a hard life lived through and through. Beneath your weathered hat, I see your seasoned eyes. They speak to me words of the wise. Droughts and flooding rains, you've seen everything. Under these harsh Australian skies, Saltbush Sally, a nickname gave to you. Born to the red dust, flies and kangaroos. You work these fields as well as any man, toiling well before the sun. Sally, you walk in battle shoes, born to the red dust, did love ever come a-knocking at your door? Or did romance never play a part? Maybe there was no time for things like that, and the outback always had your heart. Saltbush Sally, a nickname gave to you. Born to the red dust, flies and kangaroos. Saltbush Sally, you're honest and true. Born to the red dust, flies and kangaroos. Born to the red dust, flies and kangaroos.
That is Alice Benfer. The album is called Voices from the Bush, and the song Saltbush Sally. We've got about 10 minutes to go before I have to put that horse in the stable, okay? So I'm not going to say too much. I'm just going to keep playing you the tunes. This one is by Brian Letton, and he's one that's going to be at Spirits of the Bush. The song we're going to play for him is a number called She's Gotta Be Emu Export Mate.
Now I've had a crack at Forex and Southwark now and then, and Tui's isn't all that bad when I get the drinking yen. West End, not a bad brew, VB puts you to the test. But when it's all ball down, the number one crown is the emu from the west. Yeah, she's gotta be emu export when we're getting on the grog. Gotta be emu export, mate, she's a bloody good little drop. Yeah, Swan's all right and Foster's, but Plonk's not the best. She's gotta be emu export, mate, they drink it in the west. At this big posh wedding, and they had all the fancy gear, but they were only drinking champagne, not a drop of good old beer. Oh, I'd have given away me missus for a tinny of the best. And I hollered out like a drunken lout, where's the emu from the west? Yes, she's gotta be emu export when we're getting on the grog. Gotta be emu export, mate, she's a bloody good little drop. Yes, yeah, Swan's all right and Foster's, but Plonk's not the best. She's gotta be emu export, mate, they drink it in the west. Now when I'm travelling interstate and I leave the west behind, I have to drink the local brew or whatever else I can find. But I soon get these withdrawals and I start feeling kind of queer, and I'm not right until I've drunk me fill of emu export beer. Yeah, she's gotta be emu export when we're getting on the grog. Gotta be emu export, mate, she's a bloody good little drop. Yeah, Swan's all right and Foster's, but Plonk's not the best. She's gotta be emu export, mate, they drink it in the west. Now this tale has a happy ending, you see, it's really a song of class. But some bloke said to me the other day, you can shove your emu up your... Well, I've been drunk in every state, and I've sampled all their beer, and they're all okay, but let me say, give me emu export beer.
Yeah, she's gotta be emu export when we're getting on the grog. She's gotta be emu export, mate, she's a bloody good little drop.
Yes, yeah, Swan's all right and Foster's, but Plonk's not the best.
She's gotta be emu export, mate, they drink it in the west.
Yeah, she's gotta be emu export, mate, they drink it in the west.
There you go, folks, the sensational Brian Letton. I've had the pleasure of seeing him perform at numerous festivals. I first met him at Nanango Country Music Muster a few years back, caught up with him earlier this year at the Maxville Country Music Muster. So he's gets himself around this guy, absolutely tirelessly travelling the country, doing what he really loves, which of course is singing country music. Alrighty, now I'm going to play you a track by a band that I had the pleasure of meeting at Music in the Mulga a few years back on the Wandilla Station, which is out the other side of Yulo, the other side of Cunnamulla. And this year, the Music in the Mulga was scheduled to go ahead at Thargaminda. Now, it hasn't been cancelled, it's been postponed, okay? So it will go ahead the first year for Music in the Mulga at Thargaminda. Not sure about the dates yet, but as soon as I get those dates, I will pass them on to you. Now, let's play a song by the Hillbilly Goats. They are going to be appearing at the Capella Country Music Festival. The song I'm going to play for you is a number called The Drive. Hillbilly Goats. Yeah, folks, the Hillbilly Goats, sensational. If you've never seen them, you are missing out on one heck of an act, I've got to tell you. I've got time for just one more song, and I'm going to play it by Peter Simpson and Diane Lindsay. They're going to be appearing at the Capella Country Music Festival as well. Now, that is from the 6th, Tuesday the 6th of May through until Sunday the 11th of May. The song we're going to play for you is a number called Rusty. It's Goodbye.
By a lonely railroad station, a dog sits patiently. And as each train rolls down the track, he watches eagerly. But the one that he is waiting for does not come off the train. And when the crowds have gone their way, he drops his head again. But he doesn't know his master lay on a battlefield to die. He didn't hear the soldier say, Rusty, it's goodbye. It's many months now since the day he saw his master go. A figure clad in khaki is one he'll always know. But the lonely dog keeps waiting, though each long day's the same. and hear him call his name. But he doesn't know his master lay on a battlefield to die. He didn't hear the soldier say, "Rusty, it's goodbye." Rusty, he'll not see again the pal he's waiting for. Their happy days together are gone forevermore. But the station master sees him there and he knows why he's alone. Although he can't replace his loss, he treats him as his own. But he doesn't know his master lay on a battlefield to die. He didn't hear the soldier say, "Rusty, it's goodbye." But he doesn't know his master lay on a battlefield to die. He didn't hear the soldier say, "Rusty, it's goodbye."
There we go, folks. The album's called Looking Back. It is Peter Simpson and Diane Lindsay. Folks, the horse is in the stable. Yes, caught him while that track was playing. I'm now kicking back on the porch. The headphones are coming off. I've got a beer and a jack. So until next week, folks. Yee-ha! I'm going to see you all somewhere around Corner Country.